141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on an action-packed night in Europe and ahead to a huge weekend in the Scottish Premiership. Celtic put in some shift to get a 2-2 draw away to Bologna, one which means they could well qualify for the next stage of the Europa League, and now on to that top-of-the-table clash against Hearts. Rangers finally get a win in the Europa League, but their campaign officially comes to an end. And Dundee United against St Mirren will be the subject of a pitch inspection tomorrow after some bad weather on Tayside. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, you've got Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
The most pivotal weekend of the title race. And the question is, has Reo Hatate cost Celtic two games? Martin O'Neill said that Celtic would have won against Bologna in the Europa League last night had it not been for the red card shown to Hatate. And the exertions of 10 men doing the work of 11, how much is that taking out of Celtic as they approach Tynecastle, Hearts, and the possibility of Tomas Chavancara making his Celtic debut from the off?
I think it was a fantastic point last night for Celtic over in Bologna. It puts them in a driving seat to then welcome Utrecht with a chance of qualifying. And Rangers bow out again with a win, and that momentum that Danny Rowe's team is building at this moment, it's looking really positive for them. But listen, no game bigger this weekend than Hearts Celtic at Tynecastle.
And did you see that? First time in January, they two just opened the show without a single mention of the January transfer window, which will never go away. It is always there, ajar in the background. So let's hear from you, as always. Much more important than what Scott Allen or Hugh Keevans has got to say, what are you thinking? 0141 951 1025. If we do look specifically back on last night, what did you make of it? There was loads to get through. So Celtic fans, would you have taken a point before the off? You certainly would have taken it, I'm sure, after going down to 10 men. What did you make of the red card? What did you make of the defensive performance? Thinking guys like Austin Trusty and Liam Scales and Kieran Tierney and the effort that they all put in to get Celtic that point. How does it set you up for progression? A win at home against Utrecht would do it. A draw might even do it as well, but there are a few permutations in there. So let's hear all your thoughts there. If you want to link it into the weekend, and how could you not, as Hugh Keevans rightly says, does the physical impact of last night diminish your thoughts of winning at Tynecastle on Sunday? Of course, there could be a debut for Thomas. Let's hear him. Come on, we're all in an education programme together.
It's easy. Tomas Chavancara.
Easy as that. Will there be that debut from...
I can't wait for Gordon Deal to get round this one.
From Big Tam, he'll call him, I think. Oh, yeah. I think it's Big Tam to him. Johnny Kenny injured, apparently, according to Martin O'Neill today. So maybe that even further enhances the need for Tomas Chavancara to come in and play a part at the weekend. Do you expect to see him from the start, off the bench? You tell us. All your thoughts ahead of that brilliant top of the table clash on 0141 951 1025. How are you feeling, Rangers fans? Because you're now officially out of Europe, but that's been in the post for a while. You knew that was coming. We spoke last night about what did it mean. It clearly wasn't meaningless. Look at the team that Danny Rule put out. He was clearly wanting a win, trying to string that run of results together, get confidence, get momentum. You get money for winning. There's this coefficient scenario which could benefit Rangers down the line. So what do you take away from last night as well? Give us your thoughts on 0141 951 1025. And somebody floated this the other night, maybe it's time to nail it down. In the eyes of you Rangers fans, what do you want to happen? Am I naive enough to think that a Rangers fan is going to come on here and say they want Celtic to win at Tynecastle at the weekend? Is it a draw? Is there another outcome that suits you best? Do let us know. 0141 951 1025. And anything else ahead of a huge weekend, you know exactly where we are.
Arithmetically, you Rangers fans would hope that Celtic beat Hearts to reduce Hearts' gap.
What about a draw though? Then they both, then you gain points on them both.
Well,
in the same,
yeah,
weekend.
That would be in the equation as well. But this is the city, the only city I have ever known, and I know the way it works. And every Rangers fan, man, woman and child, hopes that Celtic get cuffed at Tynecastle.
Is there a what you secretly hope and what you publicly hope as well? Maybe that comes into it.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of fans like that. But I think a draw would put Rangers fans and Rangers players at ease.
It's all part of the madness of this season. You know, given the chaotic nature of Celtic season, to be one win at home away from the latter stages of the Europa League is incredible. And they earned it last night. The Italian air clearly suits Austin Trusty and Liam Scales. Their other outstanding performance in Europe together was Atalanta away, and they were phenomenal last night. But I pose the question, when 10 men are forced to do the work of 11 for as long as Martin O'Neill's side were last night, I think it has to have some kind of impact. Unless Tynecastle, the capacity crowd, the intensity of the occasion gives Celtic an adrenaline rush.
Well, you're Mr. ex-footballer in the room. The physical exertions, does that, I mean, it can't be ideal, it can't be the scenario you would choose, but do we sometimes then make too much of that? Are Celtic's chances of winning diminished because they played for 10 men for so long last night? I suppose that's what we're asking.
Are they diminished? Listen, there's always a chance that some people can be a bit more fatigued than others. Kieran Tierney, who put in some shift last night, we haven't seen that as much from him this season, but I think at the same time there'll be lots of confidence taken from that performance last night, that togetherness that we've seen they had to defend for large parts of the game. And I think that's when you talk about Trusty and Scales and why they look good defensively last night. It's a completely different mindset defending for large periods instead of moments in games. When they've been asked to defend for moments when they're usually controlling the game and dominating the ball, they haven't defended so well. But yesterday, they know, down to 10 men in a place where it's hard to go and produce a result, and they're just defending for large periods. The mindset's completely different. But two of them were excellent for me.
Best game Trusty's had in a Celtic jersey, I think.
It's true what Scott says though, isn't it? It's almost a different tactical challenge as well, that backs to the wall defending, to state the obvious, where you're seeing everything that's in front of you rather than maybe running back towards your own goal at times, or having to focus so much on what you're doing with the ball.
And then of course, conversely, we have to look at the loss of Cammy Devlin, Lawrence Shankland,
of course,
Benny Beningame.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, Hearts won't just get over that easily.
Well, 141 951 1025, that's the number. Jamie is going to kick things off on the phone side. Jamie.
Hiya,
Scott. How are you? You all right?
I reckon not bad.
Good. What are you thinking?
Just to come on to say, I'm proud of the way Rangers have turned it around. And what you were saying about the Hearts Celtic game, the Mora, I'd rather Celtic won.
I didn't think we'd get one so early. I thought I'd do it, at least pretend. Why that then? Do you think, explain us to your theory, why is a Celtic win the best for you?
Because I think Celtic are the team we catch, to be honest with you, even though they're at the stage that they're at the now, and Hearts were that far, being that far in front of everybody, they're catching it back, and I think it'd be easier for Rangers to catch up to the Hearts and to take the second spot than it would be to.
Yeah, I get it.
Just try to be optimistic about it. I mean, I'm not going to.
It's just a bit of fun. Like, people have got their own theories and like bang on right or wrong answer. And I get where Jamie's coming from. The only then to sort of counter that, a Celtic, just even symbolically, a Celtic win, Rangers are going to finish the weekend still in third, you know?
Yeah.
Where there's a, well, depending on the, I suppose, I think the manner Celtic, of it all.
So, a Celtic win on top of what went on in Bologna last night, and if they can beat Utrecht.
Momentum.
Yeah, momentum's huge. Everything, as you know. And since Martin O'Neill came back the second time, you know, the performances haven't always scaled the heights. The game at Falkirk was awful to watch. But as Scott says, momentum. If Hearts lose to Celtic and Celtic then go on and beat Utrecht, and then their next game is at home to Falkirk, it all begins to build for Martin O'Neill and that team.
But Jamie's belief clearly is, he feels that the Rangers can catch Celtic anyway, and then, but they need some damage to be done to Hearts, or severe damage to be done to Hearts.
Yeah, listen, that's obviously Jamie's assessment. I'm of the opinion if Celtic were to come through that game at Tynecastle with a win, and then as Hugh says, beat Utrecht, the momentum building, they would then expect Celtic to then strengthen come the end of the window. I think it's a different kettle of fish for Rangers in terms of that Nancy team that we've seen before. It would be a completely different team, and where they're at mentally if they were to come through that Hearts game and win.
The O'Neill factor is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, the first time around when he replaced Brendan Rodgers, the run that Celtic went on, the Celtic hierarchy then took a flamethrower to their own season by appointing Wilfred Nancy, and now Martin O'Neill's back to try again to cut into the deficit between Hearts and Celtic. But the O'Neill factor is massive.
Take it back to one of your other points, Jamie. So you felt last night was quite important for Rangers, despite the fact that it couldn't lead to European progression this season or anything. You still felt it was important to get that win for a number of reasons.
Yeah, it was just what I mean about I'd rather Celtic win is because if Celtic win and we won our game against Dundee, the points are still the same. You know what I mean? We're still the same points as Celtic, but we're 3 points closer to Hearts then.
No, that makes sense for sure. Scott, what was your thoughts on last night? Jamie keeps using that word momentum. It can be overused in football sometimes, but that was, I think, what we all were led to. We asked the question in the couple of nights leading up to the game, what's this all about then? Because you're nearly at the bottom of the table, you can't go through, so do you just rest everyone? Do you just sack off Europe, focus on the league? But more and more people, and Danny Rule himself, before you even get to coefficients or money or anything like that, just want to keep a win and run going. Belief, confidence, momentum, all these words that are kind of linked together.
I think it's as simple as that, Gordon. I think Danny Rule's building something there. The Rangers players are feeling it. They went out last night. Yes, they get a win. Could have had more goals. Should have had more goals. And they get the clean sheet. And that just leads into the weekend. You can't beat winning in football and what that builds and inside the changing room. And Danny Rowe knows that. I think that's why the team he picked last night was strong. And they'll be looking to do the more the same against Dundee at the weekend.
I listened to his post-match press conference, Danny Rowe. And at one point he said, at the moment it feels like we can win, 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 win. He said it 4 times. So he clearly believes in momentum.
Yeah.
And in many ways, it was interesting, Scott, to see Rangers take. It was kind of like what they've been doing domestically in the sense that they won the game. That's a good thing. They kept a clean sheet. That's a good thing. And there was still quite a few bits where the fans go, wow, what? You know, maybe just need a bit more quality in the final third. You know, it was a continuation of everything from what we've seen already.
Yeah, it wasn't better. If you look at it from an attacking sense, it wasn't incredible football. But what they're doing is winning games. I think the frailties, when I'm saying frailties, but it's not the perfect performance. I think we all kind of know that that's down to some of the personnel and certainly there's a part. I think decision making in the final third was really evident to see at times last night. Chermiti, for me, I thought he'd done lots of things in the game really well. But the most important thing for a Rangers striker is to put the ball in the back of it. He's the guy playing the ball out wide, but he should be the guy in the box getting on the end of it. So for me, there is some positives there. I seen the three guys, you're hoping they're going to be players who can come in and make a real difference to that starting 11. But Danny Rowe will be happy at this moment in time with winning games of football.
Thank you very much to Jamie, 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from the man Scott just mentioned, the Rangers head coach.
The first win in Europe is always good for us, I think, especially to keep the momentum. I think now 7 wins in a row, fantastic. From the last 9 games, 6 clean sheets as well. This is great. It feels at the moment we can win, but it's always hard working, and it was the big message after the game. We need again 100% to win the next game, and this is the crucial thing. I saw as well things to improve, and I think this is for me also the part. I will not close my eyes and will say everything was nice. We know what we have to improve. All in all, I think big respect to the performance, to my players.
Jim is on the other line. What have you got for us, Jim?
How you doing, Gordon? Jim here in Dublin. I phoned you before Christmas and said that the next 4 or 5 games of Rangers are important to keep them in the title race. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they beat Aberdeen twice and Celtic. On Sunday, I don't want Celtic to win the draw. I want Hearts to beat Celtic because I want Celtic to have more pressure than them. And if we beat Dundee with a few goals, it gets a goal difference in our favour as well. So I don't want Celtic to draw or to beat Hearts. I want Hearts to beat Celtic on Sunday.
So you think you can make up what would then be the six-point deficit to Hearts would remain? You think you can make that up?
Yeah, well, we've started to play Hearts twice. I've started to go to play Celtic again. So, I mean, there'll be points dropped by all the teams here at the end of the season, I think. But after last night's result, we had 7 out of 7. I just want to keep the positive going, and I don't want Celtic to get under the Martin O'Neill. You know, we're winning games all the time, whether they're just scraping games, they're still winning. So I just hope that Hearts beat them on Sunday, and if we can beat Dundee with 2 or 3 goals, then in our favour, Celtic have then got to catch us as well.
Yeah, everyone's backing up their theory perfectly well. Hugh, yeah. We didn't say there was no sort of right or wrong.
I think the big thing for Rangers come Sunday, they will have Andreas Skovolsen. For me, the marquee signing at Rangers of this transfer window. I know he's a loanee, but the option is there to buy. And this guy is clearly a class act. And I would anticipate full house at Ibrox, eager to see Skovolsen. And I think that will provide a large part of the impetus for Rangers. And Rangers don't put teams away by a lot of goals, but I think they'll beat Dundee comfortably.
Dundee been pretty good recently, though. It was interesting. Danny Rule went and beat them 3-0 away. Dundee are miles better than they were then. That's not to say that it won't happen, and Rangers now have home advantage. But I think all of a sudden, I think Ash Hayes been excellent. Tony Ugan's been excellent.
Congreve.
Congreve.
The two wingers been
I was going to say, you wouldn't. Seems like a big statement for Dundee and being where Dundee are. Is that not one of the best sets of wingers of any team in the league? Ugan and Congreve.
Yeah, I fought in the derby against Dundee United. Two of them were fantastic, and you've seen. Are they tighter wingers when you give them the ball? They just want to attack their fullback. I like that, really direct midfielder as well. Ethan Hamilton is at the centre midfielder. Mm-hmm. He's been excellent, the captain. He's been a great find for Dundee. So I think you'll see lots of what you've seen the last time Dundee went to Ibrox. They'll defend at times, but what they do have now is two confident wingers who can get them up the pitch and a striker who is on form. So it'll be an interesting game. Rangers have to take care of business themselves. Skovolsen, as Hugh says, you would imagine we'll see a lot of him come the weekend, and he'll be someone who the Rangers fans are really looking forward to seeing.
What did you make of last night, Jim, in isolation?
I thought the first half we played very well. We were unlucky to not be two or three up. Obviously, Luricret's not a bad outfit. Came out and opened up in the second half. Put us under a bit of pressure. The defence looked solid, and we could have nicked another couple of goals later on. Overall, another great performance, and I think a lot is down to that as well. I had a big critic before the new year of Diamande, and I think the last four or five matches he's shown how he's in there and his discipline's got better. Obviously he likes a wee goal now and again, but I thought his performance in the last three or four matches has been the difference to the Rangers midfield.
Good man, thank you, Jim. On the line, we're having a bit of fun, a bit of speculation about what the Rangers fans want to happen at Tynecastle. What about those of you that will actually be involved, Celtic fans? Last night was obviously very good, so talk to us about that. Are there any worries about the physical exertions and what that does for Tynecastle? Chvanchara, the guys have been practicing their pronunciations. No, Chvanchara. I think it's more, I think the emphasis is different.
The Czech boy.
Is he going to come straight in and start the match? How do you look back on things in Italy and ahead to a trip to the capital? We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here alongside Scott Allen. Give us a call, please, on 0141 951 1025. It's been the same every single night this season, if we're being totally honest. There has not been a single night where we've had a shortage of talking points or even anything close. So you've got two big European games last night, the transfer window's still open, Celtic going to Hearts at the weekend, big fixture list, all happening, so do get in touch. This is what Martin O'Neill made of the draw in Bologna.
Obviously the sending off has had a major effect in the game. I thought that we played brilliantly, got the goal, and looked at a really decent outfit, played some really great stuff. I've seen the sending off back, I must admit, maybe Rio's caught the lad's toe or foot at the end of it all. Maybe he should have been a bit more careful after having been booked. But overall, I thought it was pretty harsh, really. And it put us obviously in the back foot. So we spend all of the second half, or most of it, and the last bit of the first half defending. So, but the effort the team put in, the spirit they showed. I think, you know, when you're mentioning Trusty, I think he epitomised the spirit tonight of the team. It was colossal, really colossal. And it keeps...
Scott is a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Scott?
I'm all right, Gordon. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking?
Hi, Hugh. Hi, Scott. How are you two guys
good,
doing? Yeah. All right.
Yep.
I've got 2 points, Gordon, please, if you can bear with
Go
me.
For it.
One was about last night and one's about Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Hatate shouldn't be in that team for Sunday whatsoever. The reason why I'm saying that, he's not a young, stupid wee player. he is quite intelligent. He's been around the block. And just luckily we came out with a draw last night. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. He let a lot of people down last night. All the fans that went away there last night, his team, his manager, everybody, he let them all down, right? So I don't even think he should be in the, on the bench on Sunday. There's players there like Bernardo, you know, Luke McGowan and everything else would be quite easily fit in there, no problem. So that's step one. Step two.
See, on that, Scott, Lally, it's an interesting point. So let's elaborate a bit. So clearly then you think it was a red card and you're quite annoyed at Hatate for it.
Oh, it's definitely a red card. He knew exactly what he was doing last night.
What do you think, Scott? You haven't been in those. It was, Martin O'Neill's balance was interesting there. Can it be the old bit of both where it can be daft and it can be ill-advised, but also a bit unlucky as well, because I'm assuming he doesn't.
That's where
think
I'm
he
at.
He tries to come down on his heel, but he does, and therefore it is a red. I don't know how.
Just a bit. It was naive, wasn't it? I think especially the fact that you're on a yellow card. And what Scott says is too, you then leave your teammates with a lot of work to do. But to say you wouldn't have him on the bench, for me, I would always have him on the bench because he's one of the only players in the country who can really find that killer pass.
It's not daft enough to be punished for it, then, in your mind?
It depends if he was to start the game, but I think because what he brings to your side, and if you were looking for someone to find that through ball, he is one of the guys in this country who's most capable of that. So for me, yes, it was really naive. He gave the referee, especially a European referee, a decision to make, and you let your teammates down by the fact that they have to then defend and dig in and do extra run and all that sort of it. But listen, that's for the Celtic players in that change room under Callum McGregor's captaincy to get around them and say, listen, you let us down, but come Sunday, you might be the guy to dig us out.
I never believe in punishing yourself to your own detriment. Rio Hatate is better than Paolo Bernardo and Luke McCowan. And to say you wouldn't even have him on the bench is nonsense. He's got the, for me, yeah, it was his fault. Martin O'Neill says the player acknowledged that after the game, but he would be in my starting 11 at Tynecastle for sure.
See, just in theory though, there might be times where you do have to dish out a punishment to your detriment. I mean, let's say it was something horrendous, then you know you would need to bite the bullet.
Not for a game of this magnitude.
No, but that's irrelevant though. That is genuine. I don't want to get too hypothetical. Let's say Rio Hatate did something completely scandalous and outrageous. You're not going to keep him in just because it's the Hearts game. But no. What I'm trying to get at here is the crime, in quotation marks, is it that bad? You know, how much blame do you put to the player?
He was stupid. It could have cost Celtic more dearly. It turned a potential victory into a draw, but it's not on the horrendous scale that you describe. Footballers have bad moments on the park, and I would have him from the start at Tynecastle.
Scott?
You and I were getting on so well over the past few months as well, mate. You know, Scott is a player, and I'm not trying to, you know, influence anybody to whatever else. I just think because Scott made a point there, it was because the two bookings were so close together. He must, come on, he's no a 19-year-old naive player who's just come into Celtic, whatever else. You're probably right, Hugh, he is a better player than McGowan and Bernardo, I'm no disputing that. But what I'm saying to you is, there comes a point where, maybe no having him on the benches, maybe, you know, cut my nose off to spite my face, but I just think he needs to be taught, you know, it's just stupidity.
I think the player, if you were asked the Celtic players though, would you want Rio Hatate in your starting 11 or on your bench? Every single player in that squad, especially that starting level, would want him round about him because they know the quality he does bring.
See, also back, I think it is genuinely, sorry to keep harping on about the nature of the crime. It's a bit daft. Is it any more than that? You know, if it's more than that, then I get Scott's kind of almost, and maybe put words in his mouth, but you know, kind of teaching him a lesson. Does he need that really, or is it just a daft moment where you need to take it in the chin
and he's acknowledged it? And if Scott acknowledges that Rio Hatate is a better player than McCowan and Paolo Bernardo, then why do you deliberately weaken your team?
I think at the same time as well, as a player, if you were sent off in that situation, that's that's what your teammates are there for sometimes, to get you out of trouble. And he, as Martin O'Neill alluded to there, he would have known fine well that he owes a great deal of gratitude to the players for the work that they did put in that second half.
Loads of red cards have got an element of stupidity about them. You know, if you flew in over the ball, studs up and got a straight red, or you know, there would be loads. What else are you thinking then, Scott, looking ahead to the weekend?
Right, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his second name, Gordon, right? But
Chivanchira.
We'll just call him Big Tamfony on, right? So I would put him in straight away. It's not like he's not been playing before he came here. So get him in straight away, as big as a game as it is, and Hugh's going to say, and you want to leave for a Hatate, for a big game.
No, but just...
I know what he's going to say.
No, don't worry.
Just to contradict what you've said, you just said that it's not as if he's not been playing. He hasn't been playing. He hasn't played since November. I do not disagree with you. It has to be an upgrade on Johnny Kenny.
It will be with Johnny Kenny's injured calf.
Yeah, but he's there. Martin O'Neill says he's not the answer, but he's there. And therefore, I would expect him to play from the start at Tynecastle.
I think he said he's been training in Germany, Scott, so I think maybe you both meet in the middle. He's not been playing week in, week out, but I think he is physically ready to play as well. So can you agree to disagree on that?
Well, we can agree to disagree, but he's going to pin me to the mast. Okay, that's fair enough. But it comes to the point you would need to play him, right? Because obviously Hearts have got three or four players out, big players out, you know, and this is a point where they've already beat us twice this season, so this is a point where we can get this three points to the six back, you know, and try and claw some back. But you definitely need to play him. I know he's not the answer. Even if Johnny Kenny wasn't injured, I would still put him up there, because Johnny Kenny's no... You know, his confidence is quite low and whatever else, and that's fine, that it happens to other players, but you're needing to bring him in 100%.
Scott, what do you think what's the reality of it like? Because teams clearly do it. It's obviously possible. It's just go on, play a game of football. But I sometimes wonder if we make it look a bit easier than it actually is from the outside. He would have trained with the B team yesterday, because Celtic were in Bologna, in case you hadn't noticed. He would have trained today, again, most of those players would have been on a recovery, and tomorrow will be a full session numerically, but probably a light session because it's the day before a game. Do you then go and, even if you've got striking issues and so on, do you then go and start the biggest league game of the season so far?
Yeah, I think it's different if you look at his profile and what he looks that he's going to bring to the Celtic team. Physical attributes, big presence. Celtic are now putting balls in the box to go and get attacked. So for me, I think it's probably one of the easier positions to go in, and the way that Celtic are playing now, as I said, using the sides and putting the ball into the box gives them something to go and attack. And at the same time, Hearts of defence have been really good this season. It gives your Halkett's and that something different to deal with, which I haven't seen this season yet from a Celtic side. So for me, I would go with them as well.
Yeah, we don't often get an unknown quantity, but the Hearts players have no idea what Chivanchira is like. So that unknown quantity factor is a help as well for Martin O'Neill. I'd play him from the start.
Remember, Kyogo got off a plane and then came off the bench, I think, at Tynecastle. And if we're all being honest, everybody thought, don't know if this guy will do. And then they turned it around pretty quickly.
Well, let me put it this way to you. Chivanchira is from the Czech Republic. I'm not going to dive in too quickly on players from the Czech Republic.
You've done that before.
I did it once before. And 29 years later, I still get it. 29 years later.
I was going to say, so much so that it was nearly before it was the Czech Republic. But it was, wasn't it, by then? Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it was going to be interesting for sure. Although maybe he's had some extra time to get advice, because he revealed today at his press conference, which I thought was quite funny. It was mostly when we were kind of small talking after us, people were leaving the room, that he's been... He's staying in the same hotel as Martin O'Neill.
Yeah.
So he was in the same car as Martin O'Neill going from the hotel to training. That's a bit of pressure, that, is it not?
Well, you'd never get a word in edgeways anyway, because Martin would just talk from the hotel to Lennoxtown. So
he said he had about 10 messages in his phone, but he didn't want to look at them. He didn't want to like reply, because every time he went to look at his phone, Martin O'Neill would say something else. Is that your worst nightmare as a new signing?
I think that's your worst nightmare in any situation, Vernica, with the manager.
Oh, dear me. Anyway, thank you very much to Scott on the line. So 1419511025. Of course, building up to a big weekend. Looking back on last night, championship action tonight. There's even a suggestion that the weather might cause a bit of drama on the Premiership card tomorrow as well. So lots to get through. But let me tell you about this first, because obviously at this stage of the show I generally give you an update on where we are on Make Me a Winner, but we've done that already today, so we're on to your selfies again, Hugh. Remember it? The Nokia.
Yeah.
We still can't get that Nokia to take selfies. No. So we're moving to the city centre. You get your travel plan sorted yet? Me and you live quite near each other. We might need to arrange something.
Yeah, we should get a pick-up
point. Friday.
Pick-up point where we don't get a park ticket.
Car park space, honestly. If any traffic wardens out there, just let us off. Wait, anyway, Clyde One, moving to the city centre. We want you to help us celebrate. So if you fancy seeing your face on the billboards around Glasgow and the West, we're going to get one with Hugh Keevans up there. You could be in good company. Share a selfie of you near a Glasgow landmark or whatever Glasgow means to you on your Instagram story. Tag us at Clyde One Official. The hashtag I belong to Glasgow. You can post it on George Bowie's official Facebook page as well. And yeah, help us celebrate that move coming up in the next couple of months. Plenty more calls when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. Let's dive straight back in the phones with Michael and Blackwood. How are you, Michael?
Hi, fine, thanks. Yeah, thanks for putting me on. Hi, Gordon, Hugh and Scott there.
How are you thinking? What are you thinking tonight?
My point is, I think Celtic won by the odd goal in Swindon. I don't think the fact they had a lot of exertions last night will make too much difference. They're professional footballers, and I think the fact that they played so well will give them a massive boost for Sunday. And Big Tam, the Celtic legend, will score. Hearts will be impeded by the loss of three of their best players. It should be a cracker, but 2-1 for Celtic for me, that's my point.
Don't mind the nice early prediction. Again, Scott, with your professional's hat on, is there a balance there between the physical exertions are obviously not ideal, but as Michael says, you all of a sudden feel better about yourself in terms of what you achieved last night against, you know, in the midst of adversity.
The difference coming the next day following a win compared to a defeat is
your legs aren't as tired all of a sudden.
No, because you're in a better place. That's why we play football. We win games of football or get good results. Celtic performed well last night, and it was more that grit and team ethic that we hadn't seen along this season so far. I think at the same time, you look at Hearts, as Michael touched on, with the three of the core of their players. For me, I think Beringame and Devlin both been out, and the way Hearts do play in the middle of the park, I think they're a huge loss. So it'll be a big ask of the guys coming in there to maintain that sort of form that they have shown over the season. So it is there for Celtic at the same time, but you can't. Hearts have built an incredible momentum as this season went on. Mm-hmm. So it's a chance for guys who haven't maybe been playing for the start to come in for Hearts.
I go back to the O'Neill factor. Martin O'Neill said today that Celtic cannot afford to lose at Tynecastle. Therefore, he fully understands the nature of the game. That's why I think he will play Chivanchara from the start, give Hart something to think about. And he referred to the colossal spirit shown by 10 Celtic men in Bologna last night. I put all of those things together, and Martin O'Neill, I think, is going to Tynecastle to win. It will be the most interesting game of the second and the third coming of Martin O'Neill this season.
Yeah, the quote was good, actually, what you're referring to. He said, it's a long way back if we lose.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a trek anyway.
Yeah.
Is it are you of the view that if Hearts win, Celtic will not win the league?
100%. 9 points would be too much of a deficit for Celtic to make up.
Michael, what do you think? How important is it Celtic avoid defeat?
Oh, it's terribly important. The shoes say 9 points is a lot. Could be done, but it is a lot. I mean, I think Celtic, they really have to win, to be quite honest, because you've got Rangers there as well. But yeah, a win, I would say a win would be a must. A draw be okay, but to lose, it's a lot to peg back and say. But I feel very confident they'll get the win. They'll get the win, I think. You know what I mean? They've got, when they're on for them, they're a really good side. And they're away now for the Wilfred Nancy era, and it's a different team together. So I think they'll do their business and Sunday okay. They need to win.
What do you think, Scott, in terms of the outcomes and what it can mean? I know it's all speculation, but you've not got much choice until the game takes place.
I still think there's a long way to go.
I think Celtic could make up 9 points on Hearts.
I just don't see Hearts going the rest of the season without another spell, whether they maybe draw or lose a game.
It's quite a big spell though.
I know, but I think when you take Shankland out of the equation, I think it's a huge loss. I really do. I think he's the focal point of the Hearts team. That's, you've got that play between Kizaridis and that playing off him, Braga. But Shankland's the key to that for me, and how important is a striker who can lead the line and he's hold up play and bringing other players into the game. So I think he's a huge loss. So I still think there's a chance that Hearts could go on a run where they don't pick up as many points as they have so far this season. At the same time, I think Celtic will be looking at the form that Rangers are in, and they are really hot on the heels of both sides. So still a lot of football to be played.
See, if we're talking about the symbolic stuff, then the stuff that you can't measure, talking about Celtic's legs feel better because they had a good result the other night, how much of a shot in the arm would it be for Hearts then if they can cope without Shankland, Beningame, Devlin, and for the third time this season they either beat Celtic or at worst they stay unbeaten against Celtic in three, you know, without all those players? That, you know, that must be, that would have been an incredible lift, surely.
Yeah, that would be an incredible lift, as well as the two ones that they played with 10 men and managed to come away with 6 points. The Falkirk game in isolation has thrown in there as if the Hearts are maybe not the same team as they were the previous week. But
it's a good
on the
point
night,
though, because we need to find that out. You know, what was that? Was that just a blip in the cup? Is that the start of something?
At the same time, Falkirk are a decent side, and they're showing that time and time again this season. So I think that sandwich between the Celtic game and the two wins with 10 men gives it an interesting take coming into Sunday. And then you add in the factors of no Devlin, no Beningame, and most importantly for me, no Shankland. It will be an incredible achievement if Hearts come away with 3 points on Sunday.
So uncommon late into January to be discussing a third dimension to the title race. It's always, if Celtic do this, Rangers will need to do that, or vice versa. But now we've got a third dimension, Hearts. They are the leaders. They're 6 points clear of the Old Firm. And it's an intriguing part of this incredible, unprecedented season.
I mean, because the atmosphere is going to be through the roof, isn't it? You know, even we can keep analysing the specifics of the football game and who's missing and what that does to you tactically. But Celtic players will... They'll know all about the occasion if they don't already, once they run out that tunnel. And you know, there have been, let's forget this is league leading Hearts, there have been Hearts teams much worse than this that can just make life a misery for you at Tynecastle.
Yeah, because the environment it challenges you as a player, especially Celtic going there, and they are, will always be one of the teams who are expected to go and produce a result. I think with Hearts this season, back at the first game Celtic played there this season, Celtic started the game well, and then Hearts just with that crowd noise that you speak about there, and that 12th man, they just, once they get the goal, the whole momentum swings. So I think it's really important that Celtic get the first goal on Sunday if they are to go on and win the game, as well as for Hearts if they get that first goal. You know that they can defend for large periods. They've done it with 10 men as well. So I really find this game fascinating.
The other factor, Celtic get 650 tickets for the fans. You know, it will be so pro-jambo. You know, it'd be a tremendous atmosphere. The 650 will have to shout really loud to be heard. But the most intriguing fixture of the season so far.
It's funny because we're talking about, does Chivanchara go straight in Hearts? We're still, last I checked, trying to get Mark Leonard, the young Scottish midfielder, in. And I think with the hope that he comes in and plays. But I mean, we're now at 7 o'clock on Friday night. I don't think it's been announced yet, but it does seem to be imminent on loan from Birmingham City.
Send a text, try and find out just now for
he's, you. He's been at, he was previously at Brighton, so you know, how does he show up on Tony Bloom's radar, that sort of thing. And
well, I think the difference with him coming in is he has been getting game time at Birmingham. I mean, might not play week in, week out, but he has been getting game time. So fitness-wise, you would have no qualms with coming in and playing. And
I'm not saying exactly the same, but it goes into that Cammy Devlin role, I think. Yeah, that'd be right.
Yeah, maybe not as energetic as that, but he does have quality. So he would be one that you'd expect to come in from the start if they were able to get over the line.
And that's the beauty of the January window, Hugh. You know, people are looking for solutions. They might have to lean on them quicker than they otherwise might have. We're talking about Celtic's striker there, and Hearts are in a similar position in that regard.
I give Hearts a lot of credit, you know, that they took the blows of Devlin and Shankland, and very, very quickly, immediately, got on the case, and Rogers Matto, Mark Leonard, they're really going about their business. Obviously, Derek McInnes understands the importance of the fixture on Sunday, because if Celtic do win at Tynecastle, everyone will automatically say, bottles crashed, don't have the players, and they're out for weeks and weeks. So Derek McInnes is trying to put out fires all over the place.
Right, it's that time on a Friday night already. Keep the calls coming if you want to talk football, of course. Looking back on last night, ahead to that huge game at the weekend, I think everyone is looking forward to it. I think it's one. It was interesting speaking to Danny Rule today. He's talking about the good thing, he says, don't know if he means it, is that the Hearts Celtic game's at the same time pretty much as Rangers, so he's got no choice. I wonder if somebody will be in his ear in the dugout letting him know how that other game's going with his two closest rivals. But for now, let's play a big game of our own.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I think it was a history-making night last night, or there or thereabouts, an 11-year-old on Beat the Pundit. He was very good, very confident, I must admit. The way he flew in with Steve Davis as the correct answer for the Rangers interim manager between Beale and Clement, I thought that was impressive, because hands up, I don't think I'd have got that one right under pressure. I'd have panicked. But anyway, you are allowed to call in no matter what age you are. I think under 11 might be a real test. It's not some sort of challenge. But let's get the calls in. If you want to take on Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen, you should know the drill. You just answer as many football related questions as you can in the allotted time and try and get more right than they do. So 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, and they're excited, honestly, even during the break, talking about how much they're looking forward to the weekend's action, particularly Sunday. How are you feeling, though? That's the big question. You've got last night to digest, you've got Sunday to preview, or Saturday, depending when your team's involved. And this is a first for this month, I think. A whole hour. I don't think we really did anything on transfers there, really.
No.
So that tells you we've got big games taking over the agenda. If you want to go transfer chat afterwards, you can do. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I have already glanced down at the sheet, and my prediction for this evening is that neither of you get question one right.
Oh, bro.
Call it mind games if you want. I'm putting some pressure on you.
Or just say whatever. Pass right away and go to question two.
One of you will face Connor in Bells Hill. How's it going, Connor?
Not bad, how are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played this before?
No, I haven't, no.
Good, that's just the way we like it. Let's see how you fare then. I'll toss the coin. Stiller, did we ever get to the bottom of that? Coin went missing during the week. Did you hear this? High drama, real high drama. This is a replacement. And
somebody's took it.
I don't know where the original is. The only gripe I have, not that I'm a diva or anything, the replacement box is much harder to open, as you can see.
Yeah.
Really struggling with it every night, but there we go. The blue side, blue for Hugh, as always, red for Scott Allen. So let's see how it goes tonight. Blue for Hugh it is. Hugh up against Connor from Bells Hill. I'm banning you from passing the first. I want you to take a guess at
it. Okay.
Right, Connor, you have 30 seconds whilst Hugh listens to some music. Just answer as many as you can. You're more than welcome to pass if you want and move through to the next question, okay?
Okay.
Good man then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's the only Rangers player to feature in every game this season?
Jack Butland.
Adam Ida joined Celtic from which English team?
Norwich City.
How many times has Andy Robertson won the Premier League?
Once.
Which former Scottish Premiership manager has joined UEFA's Technical Observer panel?
Pass.
Name any team Scotland played in the last Nations League.
Israel.
Graham Shinney's won the Scottish Cup with Aberdeen and which other team?
Inverness.
True or false? Thomas Chvančura previously played against Celtic.
False.
Okay. Shug, can you hear us?
Yep.
Good, same set of questions.
Going from wham to bam.
This is an absolute, don't know why this just came to me when I looked at you. You know, kids say, just say absolute nonsense, like just whatever comes to their head. I spent last night at bedtime talking about you. 9 o'clock, the 5-year-old's still not asleep. She's terrorising me at this point, asking every stupid, no, sorry if she's listening, question you can possibly think of, you know, the delay tactics. She goes, Dad, who's the oldest person you work with? I'm like, going, why do you want to know that at 9 o'clock at night? I said, Hugh. Oh, she said, my friend's got a cat called Hugh. That was it. End of conversation. So you were the subject. And then she came back to me when I was looking at wee cat Hugh. Anyway, 30 seconds, same set of questions to you. Your time starts now. Who's the only Rangers player to feature in every game this season?
Gassama.
Adam Ida joined Celtic from which English team?
Aston Villa.
How many times has Andy Robertson won the Premier League?
Three.
Which former Scottish Premiership managers joined UEFA's Technical Observer panel?
Pass.
Name any team Scotland played in the last Nations League?
Pass.
Graham Shinnies won the Scottish Cup with Aberdeen and which other team?
Inverness.
True or false, Thomas Chivantura has previously played against Celtic?
True.
Okay, okay. What do you think, Connor? You've heard the competition.
I'm not sure, to be honest. Feels like I bottled that a bit.
I just think they were quite tricky. First question, who's the only Rangers player to feature in every game this season? It is JD Gassama. Wonderful. I can't wait, you go, the two of you. I'm not buying that. Somebody told you that. I'm on a steward's inquiry. Butland didn't play against Annan. So that would be your clue there, Connor. Or do you think he was one behind? But Gassama has featured. Well done, Hugh Keevans. Brilliant knowledge. Adam Ida, though. I mean, you did brilliantly in the first question and then just decided to stink the place out. Adam Ida, Norwich. Aston Villa.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Connor equalises. Andy Robertson's won the Premier League twice. None of you got that. The 1920 season, 24-25. Clearly in there because he's reportedly on his Spurs. Way to Spurs. Yeah. What do you make of that?
Well, I think he's not getting a game at Liverpool anymore. Out of contract in the summertime. Terrific move for him. Spurs are toiling. Thomas Frank's under pressure, but you'd happily go from a big club at Liverpool to a big club like Spurs.
The bright lights of London, what do you think?
Yes, it's a fantastic move, isn't it? Obviously a fantastic arena to play in Tottenham. Yes, they aren't not as good a side as Liverpool and they haven't been firing, but listen, Andy Robertson, that's a great move coming from Liverpool.
It speaks for itself. London life for a few everybody years knows well. His CV, we're talking about the titles, but it just shows you the level he's got to. That even at, now if we're talking about him, you know, out of favour at Liverpool or past his best or whatever, it was nearly Atletico Madrid last summer and now nearly Spurs. You know, the level he got to is just, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and it deserves huge praise, obviously coming through at Queen's Park as well, who were an amateur club at the time and just progressed really well. And I think the key thing in there is going to the right clubs at the right time. Dundee United, great club to go and develop, then on to Hull, followed by Liverpool, and him and Jurgen Klopp was just a match made in heaven.
I've seen a lot of people saying today it would be good for him to move and play every week in the lead up to the World Cup, obviously, Scotland. Is there such a thing as a sweet spot with guys of that age, though? I've got a bit of a theory that I don't actually mind if they don't play that often, as long as they play a bit so that they're not totally rusty, but then they're not as... Because I sometimes think players get burst when they get to major tournaments. I think everybody looked knackered at the Euros.
Yeah, but I think Andy Robertson is probably of the mindset that I want to play
week in, week out.
I think as soon as I saw it come up, I thought, what a great move that would be for him, because you're talking, you know, one of the great clubs, one of the great stadiums of British football. At the age of 31, that's a dream move.
Anyway, we got sidetracked onto the next question. One of these, if you've not just read this somewhere yesterday or today, you won't know it. Which former Premiership manager joined UEFA's Technical Observer panel? Ange Postecoglou. There we go, silence. None of you got it, so it's 1-1. Name any team Scotland played in the last Nations League. You had the choice of Portugal, Croatia, Poland, Greece. Connor, you fell into the trap of thinking we just always play Israel, which was true for a while, but not in the last Nations League, so it remains 1-1. Graham Shinnie has won the Scottish Cup with Aberdeen and Inverness Cali Thistle. You both got it, 2-2. Which means it all comes down to the last question. It's a 50-50. One of you said true, the other one said false. So we will separate it. Thomas Chivantura, has he previously played against Celtic? He has, in the Europa League way back in 2021. I'm afraid, Connor, there is nothing worse than getting done on a 50-50, true or false, by Hugh Keevans. That is a weekend ruiner.
It sure is indeed.
Honestly.
See, Connor...
Especially with his Gassama answer, I don't know where he's plucked that from.
Well, you see, Connie, you've got to read your newspapers. He did the press yesterday, Chivantura, and I read it in the paper this morning that he was greatly taken by the fact that the Celtic fans were singing before the game started. So as soon as you asked me that question, Gordon, I knew the answer was true.
What's your excuse for Gassama? An inspired guess?
Oh yeah, completely.
Yeah, anyway. Connor, are you a Rangers fan?
I am indeed, yeah.
What did you take away from last night?
Good win, but ultimately Europe's not our priority now, so league's the main priority, I think. So it was a good win, but
You were happy enough to sort of go strong last night though, and kind of, you know, put a big effort into winning it just for, what, you know, momentum and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I was there myself watching it, but it wasn't the best game in the world. But no. It was 3 points, just 3 points at the end of the day. I know it didn't mean anything in terms of us going through, but it was a good enough performance, and we're now in a winning run, so it's no injuries and that.
You know,
it was a Rangers fan that put this to me, Hugh, so I can blame him rather than it being a theory of mine. But you could almost see this Rangers team. You could see them winning the league, getting to May, and people looking back and going, I can't remember any brilliant performances. That's also fine, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
It does, just because of where they've been.
If Rangers, you know, one title win in the last 14 seasons, if they win the title, it doesn't matter if they have been rotten from start to finish. But the other thing I was going to say to you, at the start of the programme, you were wondering, the Rangers fans want Celtic to win or lose. I wonder how many Celtic fans wonder if they would rather Celtic went out of Europe and not have it as a distraction and taking something out the legs of the players. If Celtic were to win at Tynecastle on Sunday, would some Celtic fans not be too unhappy if they didn't progress in the Europa League and focused entirely on retaining the league under Martin O'Neill?
That's probably the sweet spot, isn't it? Not too fussed rather than actively wanting to. Connor, answer of the small point that bled into a big point earlier. What would you rather happen at Tynecastle on Sunday? Hearts win, Celtic win or draw?
Yeah, probably a draw suits us the best, I think.
That was always, like, because I'm completely on the outside of it, I thought that would be the most common one, Scott, just because, quite obviously, you gain on them both then. That's the, you know, you go above Celtic, if you win, of course, as a Rangers perspective, but you gain on Hearts as well. But other opinions are available.
Yeah, I'm
you in the draw boat.
Yeah, I'm in the draw boat. I just think if you can kind of stifle both teams' momentum and you keep winning, then I think if you were a Rangers fan, a Rangers player, you would be much happier with that result.
Connor, would you hope and expect to see Andrés Skov-Olsen tomorrow from the start?
I'm not sure, because I'm not really sure if he's played much this season already. I'm not really looked into how much he's played. So, but then I heard Danny Rowe the other day saying about potentially looking to start him for Sunday because he couldn't play last night due to him not being in the squad. But I'd maybe give him a 60 minutes, 70 minutes, and if Rangers are comfortable, take him off. But
I think he last played November, I'm sure it was, for Wolfsburg, Hugh. But that's an extra part of the intrigue, you know. The league table is the main event on Sunday, but these new Rangers signings, I know Chukwani's made his debut, but I'm not trying to diminish it. It was a period of a cup game against Annan. You know, the chance to come in and play, does Skov-Olsen play?
I think I think he's the marquee signing of the transfer window. The pedigree is outstanding. I do appreciate that you say, well, why is he here? 40 caps for Denmark. Should he not be going to Tottenham instead of Andy Robertson? You know, but I think, I know he spoke to Brian Laudrup about coming here, and I've read what Brian Laudrup had to say about Andrés Skov-Olsen, and if Laudrup thinks he's a player, I'd be happy with that.
I think for me, I would, looking at Rangers in the final third last night, I thought they were wasteful when they did get into some really good areas. I think that calibre of player, playing from the start, home game against Dundee, go and show us what you've got, because there is, especially in that the wide areas, I think there's a real chance for Skov-Olsen to come in and hit the ground running with Rangers, because he does have that quality on the ball, and that's an area of the park where I think they could be a lot have better usage anyway, whether it's ends in an assist or a shot. I think he could be the answer.
Does that, to link that to what we've been saying, it's a Rangers team that's winning 7 in a row, but still quite clear that it does need something in an attacking sense. So is that why, you know, it's not mission impossible to break into this Rangers team, even though they've won 7 in a row?
No, you've had a manager who's come in and got the best out of the players at his disposal. I think Scott Olsen, calibre-wise, is better than the wingers that you have at the club. I thought Mikey Moore last night was disappointing and wasteful at times. But I do feel he looks a lot better, more central in the pitch, playing in the pockets and sliding passes through. Gassama again, I think they need more end product. So for me, Scott Olsen, it's a perfect opportunity to give him his debut.
Justin is a Rangers fan. What's on your mind, Justin?
Good evening, gentlemen. I hope you're well. Thank you. I hope you managed to clear up Coingate and get that solved the other day.
I think so. I think we're blaming Gary Spence. He's the guilty party, we think.
But yeah, no, it was to really talk about, follow up to what Scott was talking about there for last night. I think, again, I spoke about Chermiti yesterday when I was on. I think he'd done a lot of good stuff again, seemed to be more outside the box. I'm concerned about Gassama, I've got to be honest, and I think for me, Scott Olsen should be a starter for the beginning tomorrow, because Gassama, as much as he seems to be turning into a one-trick pony, which defenders are reading him now, he's not got an end product. He seems to get past his man and then gives the ball away, or it's a yard too short, or it's, you know, a sclaff off his corner and then it goes out for a something that there just doesn't seem to be a lot of engagement in it. Are in product to what he's doing, whereas Chermiti seems to be bringing people into the game more, but I think there's got to be a foil off him. Again, I don't know what Scott and the guys thought last night.
How's Gassama managed this? He's the only one who seems to have done it in reverse. Yeah. And he was good under Russell Martin when everything else was going wrong, and now that everything else is fixed, his form seems to be suffering.
I'm not quite sure. I just think he's obviously a young player, and you do have the moments within a season where you're not playing with the same confidence. End product, as a winger at Rangers, that's what you're judged on. And I would agree with Justin. I think there is an opportunity there for Scott Olsen to come in and hit the ground running. Asgard, for me last night, lovely touch for a goal for Diamandé, really cute, liked it. But there was a moment in the game where he drove from the halfway line, and he had a run on the right and a run on the left, and he kept running and got dispossessed. And I just feel like that decision making in the final third, and that's whether that's in the number 10 position or the two wide areas, I think it has to be better. And yes, I totally understand that Rangers are winning games, but they could be winning games a lot more comfortable if they can just get that decision making in the final third, which is for some players the hardest part of the game.
Scott Olsen is the biggest certainty of the weekend to start.
I think so.
I think
don't bring him on at 60 minutes, get the big standing ovation.
I think you got to start.
Yeah, I think Danny Rowe, reading between the lines, he sounds excited by the prospect of getting him into the team. He sees him. He's already noted the quality. And I think he is a racing certainty to begin the game against Dundee and get the crowd up from the get-go.
Well, we'll find out if his team lineup predictions are any better than his scoreline predictions at the weekend. It's an absolute certainty, Scott Olsen, probably not even in the squad now after Hugh has said that. Justin, we're taking everybody's theories. What's your preference in terms of outcome at Tynecastle?
A draw is the preferred outcome for me, like the guys were saying. I think partially derailing both of the teams that were kind of up against in a league running, I think, can only be a good thing. I think Celtic are going to be nervous going into it, to be honest. I think they've got a kind of nervousness about their play. Hearts are probably going to be a bit nervous in relation to it as well, missing some of their key players. So, again, it'll be interesting. It'll certainly be an interesting game, but first and foremost, Rangers have got to do what Rangers need to do and beat Dundee.
We're sometimes guilty of that, aren't we? No one's really discussed the possibility that Rangers might not. Now, of course, they've earned a bit of that. They've won seven in a row. Is that maybe one of the biggest compliments to this Rangers team now, Justin? Because there was a time in this season, every fixture would have worried you.
Definitely. I mean, again, it kind of stood out last night for me a wee bit as well. I don't know what the guys thought, but we're missing something in a killer instinct to bury teams or put teams away. So when you're sitting at 1-0 and you're comfortable and you're pressing the game, there's still always that chance. Last night, Ludogorets had a couple of chances last night that they could have levelled it. And that takes the shine off of what they're trying to do. I think that's why we need another forward player or a Scove Olsen to come in and really kick on in the final third. But yeah, it is a compliment. I think Rangers are, the thing I like about Danny Rowe is he's come in and kind of slightly went under the radar. He's just getting on with it. He seems to be instilling confidence in the team. They seem to be playing as a unit, and they seem to be playing for each other and getting the best out of some of the players that have been underperforming a wee bit. But I think there's still another level for Rangers to go up and kind of really kick on. But I think it's going to take a couple of players to do that, and hopefully Scott Wilson's one of them.
Old firm managers are never under the radar. Danny Rowe's been under the radar since he got here, so it'll be a big day for him on Sunday as well. But the other biggest certainty of the weekend is that Rangers will beat Dundee Island.
Oh, here he goes.
If they don't, Stephen Presley could have my house.
I bet he's got a few nice properties. Kind of, you know, the certain sophistication to them, leather bound books and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but has he ever lived this close to
first editions?
No, oh, definitely.
Has he ever lived this close to Bearsden Railway Station?
I really like him, by the way. You know, when he came in and people were like not happy with the appointment, and he was just very honest, and people call it too honest when he was saying, if you want to win things, I'm not your man, or you know, whatever it was. And but I think they've got something. I think they're ticking along quite nicely.
He's won over the fans. You know, the fans didn't want him. Let's be perfectly honest, they didn't want him.
He got a draw at Ibrox earlier this season, of course. It feels like a long time ago.
He's won them over.
And he went against how he would normally want to play. Because I played against his Carlisle team and they wanted to play football. We came here, I think he wanted to do that in the Premier Sports Cup. They had really poor performances in that. And then he knew straight away, with the personnel I've got just now, I need to do something different. And he has done that. And the players that we spoke about, with Yegan and Congreve and the midfielder, he up front, they've managed to now produce performances and start winning games. So I don't think it's as an easy game as Hughes thinking it's going to be for Rangers Sunday.
How do you think Mrs. Cubans will feel when it's Stephen Presley standing there?
Don't answer that. I was just but do us all a favour, keep us on air and don't answer that. Thank you very much to Justin on the line. We'll take a breather and plenty more time for your calls when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is that time of the night where you send a question into us and we try and catch the pundits out to see if they have got the knowledge to match your question. Jamie in Motherwell has sent this one, and if you like the sound of it, you think you've got what it takes to catch them out, send us an email, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. And in a nutshell, that is the full-time teaser. So Jamie in Motherwell says, can you name the last seven players who moved from Motherwell to Celtic on a permanent transfer? So the last seven to go from Motherwell to Celtic on a permanent transfer.
Turnbull.
Yes, in 2020.
Scott McDonald.
Yep, 2007. Once scored a famous goal against Celtic for Motherwell as well, in case you hadn't.
Yeah, I was there. I remember it well.
Stephen Pearson. They were so confident when it started. Yes. Okay, that's a good start. We'll leave it there. Turnbull, McDonald, Pearson, looking for the last seven players to move from Motherwell to Celtic on a permanent transfer. The guys have until the end of the show. And just whilst we're quizzing and that sort of thing, just to mark your card, not too far away from the pundit predictor, so stand by your phone and we'll get that involved. Laurie is on the line next. Hi, Laurie.
Hey, panel, good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My point this evening is that Hearts, although deservedly at the top of the table, have led a kind of charmed existence in this respect. Thus far, they have managed to avoid debilitating injury problems. Celtic have had their injury woes. We've lost three stalwarts for most of the season thus far. Jota, Johnson and Cameron Carter-Vickers. Reality is about to bite Hearts big time with the loss of Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin, arguably their two most talismanic players, allied to the suspension of Benigabe. I think it bodes well for Celtic, augurs well for Celtic. Since Barton has returned, Barton has yet to lose a game domestically, pre-Nancy and post-Nancy. I'm convinced now that Celtic will go on a lengthy run, which will result in them retaining the title and I think they're good to beat Hearts convincingly on Sunday. The panel's thoughts.
You know, I feel sorry for Martin O'Neill because Hearts have lost two games this season. Rangers have lost two games this season. Celtic have lost six. And that's because they employed Wilfred Nancy, who lost to Hearts, Motherwell, Dundee United and Rangers and cost Celtic 12 points. Thereby, Laurie, sabotaging Celtic's season. It was an act of self-harm on the part of the Celtic hierarchy to employ the man. And Martin O'Neill was fighting against that. I think I do take your point that Hearts will feel the loss of Shankland and Devlin. But to be fair to them, up until the point where Shankland and Devlin go out, Hearts have only lost two games this season. They are entitled to be given respect.
Yeah, I also feel like cutting them a bit of slack on that as well, Scott, because it's still Celtic, it's still Hearts. Forget Tony Bloom and Jamestown and whatever. The budgets there are still on a different planet. So, of course, Hearts might need a little rub of the green with injuries to stay above. It's a bit like when they face each other, on, you know, when you get so-called smaller teams taking on the big teams on an individual game basis. They need to be at their best. The other team might need to be off it a bit. It's a bit like that over the course of a season. I don't think we can put them as equals and then say, oh, well, Celtic have had to deal with injuries now and so the Hearts. Of course it's harder for Hearts to deal with injuries. That's the point. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it will be multiple times the budget that Celtic have got.
Yeah, I think that's a fair
the Hearts have got.
A fair comment. At the same time, Derek McInnes is building something. I think you can only have to look to the performances with 10 men when you would expect them to drop points, and they managed to come through that. I think what that does for a team is huge. So I think there's aspects of Hearts' game that we've seen where they can really grind it out. They can, if they're asked questions to defend, they can defend. And Hearts, obviously, have scored most goals from set piece. Hearts might just need a set piece to win a game, as much as we're talking about Shankland, and I do think it'll be a massive loss. Hearts can win games based on set pieces, and a lot of games in football are settled by that these days. Celtic don't defend set pieces necessarily well, so it's all to play for. Celtic do have a lot more momentum under Martin. He was not getting away from that. His record in the league since on his two times he's been here this season have been excellent. Celtic off the back of the Bologna result, it's not a gimme for Hearts, it's not a gimme for Celtic. I just think on the day, yes, you're missing Shankland, but it's an opportunity for another player to come into a team who's doing really well and try and cement a place in the starting 11. So it's very hard to call, it really is, because there's so many factors affecting this game. It's going to be who defends better on the day for me, who's going to come away for the 3 points. As much as we're speaking about strikers, it's who defends better as a team. And both sides, Hearts over the last few, take away the Falkirk game, have defended fantastically, and Celtic last night showed us a different side that we haven't seen regularly this season.
I suppose the question's redundant, Laurie, if your prediction's right, because you think Celtic will win. If it was to go against Celtic and Hearts win, could Celtic come back from that, do you think, that 9-point gap?
Gone, it would be very difficult. I think that the most salient point I'm going to make here is, and Hugh had alluded to it moments ago regarding Wilfred Nancy, that was self-inflicted, absolutely. However, the nightmare on Kerry Dale Street is now over. Normal service will be resumed under the blessed Martin.
Well, you know, everyone's entitled to take that optimistic approach. And I did say early on in the programme, Laurie, the O'Neill factor at Celtic now is massive. I cannot imagine how Celtic would have coped post Brendan Rodgers and post Wilfred Nancy without the imposing figure of Martin O'Neill. Laurie, can you think of another man who could have done what he has done?
Probably only the late great Immortal Jockstein is my answer to that. I fully concur with what you're saying, Hugh.
Some shift from, I was just thinking that today,
he's made a friend tonight.
At the press conference today, just thinking about, and he keeps referencing it as well, as part of his sort of act, talking about, I didn't see this coming at New Year, I was enjoying my New Year, and now all of a sudden, like the constant stuff about transfers and the schedule at the moment, it's proper back in at the deep end now, isn't it?
It's real enigmatic stuff, you know, that when Brendan Rodgers left, that statement from Dermot Desmond. And I remember you and I texting each other that night, and you were telling me, wait until you read this. The statement I felt was unbecoming of Celtic. And O'Neill walked into that atmosphere and was an immediate success. And after Nancy, you know, people call it the Wilfred Nancy era, it lasted 33 days. You know, the club took a flamethrower to their own season. But again, Martin O'Neill came in and steadied things. Mm-hmm. And he's still doing it. And I think the result against Bologna, although not a win that it might have been, it still leaves Celtic the chance of progress in Europe, and it has also altered the mindset for Tynecastle, because Martin O'Neill speaks about the colossal spirit shown, and he's going to take that colossal spirit with him to Edinburgh.
But also something that I'm sure Martin O'Neill is aware of more than anyone is, it's still such an unforgiving game, never mind when you come to the environment here. All this stuff is... The Celtic fans would never turn on Martin O'Neill. No. They would never fall out with Martin O'Neill. But you're only ever one or two defeats away from,
yeah,
the toys coming out the pram as well. And that's why Sunday is massive.
It's a game any Celtic team could lose on the
that's
day.
What I mean. Yeah, I said that so earlier. Yeah. There are worse Hearts teams than this, yeah, that could go and just make your life difficult at Tynecastle on the day.
On the day, if that day dawns when it is prematurely obvious that Celtic are not going to win the league, no one will turn on Martin O'Neill, because no one in their right mind could blame what has happened at Celtic this season on Martin O'Neill. When that day dawns, or if that day dawns, they will immediately turn to the hierarchy at Celtic and say, you gave the club a self-inflicted blow from which they could not recover.
Laurie, what's the balance between the confidence and feel-good factor taken from last night and maybe the physical exertions of playing with 10 men for so long?
I think, Gordon, to be quite honest with you, that the adrenaline will be running freely on Sunday. I think we're on a natural high, and I think that will reverberate around the environs of Tynecastle on Sunday. Celtic to win by 3-1.
Oh! Big. Even you'd be...
Worries done on me.
Bold for you, even for you. Let's squeeze in one more. It's going to have to be sharp, because we're going to try and give away cash soon as well. Let's bring in Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Gordon.
How's it going?
Hi, Hugh.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Been a while, and I was actually just trying to get hold of my son there, who you probably realise was a stalwart in the famous Motherwell band, the La Fontaines, and he shared the stage with some famous. Famous people, but I'm now able to tell them that I've shared a platform with Laurie for Denniston.
Hey,
no, that's big time. That's A-list stuff, Paul.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say Hugh Keevan's there. No, I wondered where that was going.
Coming to him. New Year, same old, the master of the, you know, he invented clickbait before there was clickbait. I'm just wondering if he thinks that the balance of power has been restored in Glasgow after Celtic's 2-2 draw last night. But anyway, we'll move on.
Can I not answer your question?
Carry on.
I think the balance of power is shifting, because I look at Rangers 3 signings, the money spent, and I think Celtic have been asleep at the wheel all season. Nothing to do with Martin O'Neill, as I say, but Celtic have been asleep at the wheel all season long, and they're getting left behind.
What guarantee have you got that the Rangers signings? Sorry to talk as if Rangers are in my head here, but if you want to go down that road, the Scott Olsen signing, he's got the same profile as Nicholas Kuhn, and I've dined out on your Nicholas Kuhn narrative often enough. He's got the exact same profile as Nicholas Kuhn, and you know the way the narrative was spun about how Kuhn arrived versus Scott Olsen, then we'll just have to wait and see.
I arrived with 40 Denmark caps. That's a wee bit different. And I know Kuhn's German, but...
In answer to Paul's question, I offer no guarantees whatsoever. I'm not here to offer guarantees. I'm here to offer an opinion in a forthright manner, and that's why you call.
And also, it's one of my favourite pastimes in life, Paul, to pull Hugh up on things. But he said, in his opinion, the balance of power is shifting, not shifted. So you and everybody else just needs to wait and see. It's not controversial to say he thinks it's shifting, because we won't find out to the end of the season.
Just a bit premature, maybe. Just a bit premature. And I was saying to the producer,
well, to be fair though, as well, again, I can't believe I'm almost thinking about defending him. If you wanted to be really simple about it and look at the number of points that Celtic were ahead of Rangers compared to the fact that they're level now, I don't think that's wild to say that that's shifting.
Yeah, but Celtic are still in Europe, right? There's been nothing mentioned about Europe up until lunchtime on Tuesday. They could go through into the Europa League latter stages with a result against Utrecht, and it's never been mentioned.
Europe has nothing to do with the balance of power shifting in the city of
Glasgow.
And
by the way, also, Paul, the theories started semi-strong. They're getting worse because no team's European campaign had been mentioned. No, just Celtic's. There had been weeks and months where European football had gone off the agenda. It had been overtaken because there had been Premiership games. There's a transfer window. There's only so much room on the back pages. Nobody's European campaigns were getting discussed 2 weeks ago. That's not exclusive to Celtic.
No, I understand that. But in terms of the phrase, the balance of power shifting, then if you're still in Europe and you're going in...
No. The balance of power in the city of Glasgow, that's the topic of discussion. Europe's got nothing to do with it. Celtic and Rangers don't play each other in Europe. The balance of power within the city of Glasgow, and therefore within Scottish football, that's what matters.
Celtic going to win the Europa League though?
Well, you know, as I say, if it's still got nothing to do with the balance of power in Glasgow. Rangers went to a European final under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Celtic still won the league.
That's a good point, Paul. Did you think Rangers were the most powerful side in Glasgow when they got to a European final?
No, I'm trying to think how I can word this in terms of the... I mean, it certainly gave them credibility, and there's nobody can argue about their coefficient record, which is now going to be a real thing if they do win the league. So I just think it's maybe all a bit premature. Laurie's right to talk about Carter Vickers and Johnston as really guys that are total professional and very, very consistent players. Jota, we didn't have him back for that long, so I don't really go down that one. However, we've got the experience. We've got Martin O'Neill's experience. We've got Ian Atchell to come back, who's, I think, he was a Premier League winner, Gordon. Did he win the Premier League with Leicester? I'm not sure if he was in that squad.
Can't remember.
But he's certainly a seasoned Premiership level striker, of which, didn't cost any money, albeit it was after the window closed. And I just have this feeling that Martin O'Neill might go to his type in his first time in Glasgow. He plucked the likes of Craig Bellamy and Kamara and very, very, very high quality loan signings. So I think that's the pond that he'll fish in.
Anyway, have you got any free tickets for the La Fontaines and I can go?
A thing of the past, are they not now, Paul?
Well, maybe the reunion for Hugh. They might reprise their Scotland, Bonnie Scotland for the World
Especially
Cup.
Especially for Hugh Keevans. Ian actually didn't win the league, but funnily enough, I'm glad Paul brought him up because he, on their part, he'll play at the weekend. Martin O'Neill said he's trained twice, I think he said.
Yeah.
Certainly sounded like he would feature. You'd be amazed if he went and started. The nature of him, maybe breaking down quite
a bit. Player.
But they're
player
to have.
He as soon as he went off in the cup final. The point.
That's kind of when everything
changed. Yeah.
Really, wasn't it? It was almost hard to recover from that. We'll see what happens there. Thank you very much to Paul Wright. I've been looking forward to this all night, all week. I'm hoping. Surely this is the week. Let's do this.
Possible.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Two McNair's lorries went right past me today. Uh-huh. And that was my sign. That was in my head. I thought that's it. That's a sign that we're going to win it tonight. The Pundit Predictor is back. We started this on the 22nd of August. Russell Martin was the Rangers manager. Brendan Rodgers was the Celtic manager. It was an entirely different time. All you had to do was guess the outcome of three Scottish football fixtures correctly, and we were giving you money. We've now had 20 attempts and zero winners, which means the £1,800 is still up for grabs. Motherwell against Kilmarnock, Hearts against Celtic, Rangers against Dundee. Call us right now, 0141 951 1025. It's over 18s only. Lines close at the end of this break. It's the Pundit Predictor with our friends at McNair's Building Supplies.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
Right, let's try and give away some money. We've been trying and trying every single week this season to no avail. If you are still calling for the Pundit Predictor, and many of you are, thank you so much for giving it a bash, but you can hang up the phone because the lines are now closed. So let's see what you can get next week if it doesn't work out for Darren, who's in Rutherglen. How are you, Darren?
I'm not bad, Gordon, how are you?
Do you consider yourself a good tipster generally?
Nah, always wine likes me doing on the footing every week, so we'll see how this goes.
Well, see, no one listens to what I say. I have put out an appeal for somebody to research how many times we've even managed two out of three. Those stats haven't made their way to me yet, but it's been one out of three every week as long as I can remember. So let's see if we can get all three tonight, Darren. We've teamed up with McNair's Building Supplies, £1,800 if you can predict the outcome of the following three games: Motherwell Kelly, Hearts Celtic, Rangers Dundee. So Motherwell against Kilmarnock, are you going home win, draw or away win?
I'm going to go Motherwell home win.
Home win. What about Hearts against Celtic?
Tough one, but I'm going to, it pains me to say, I'm going to edge it, Celtic win.
Away win. And Rangers Dundee?
I'm going to go home win Rangers.
There we go. Hugh Keevans, out of curiosity, what would you give us?
Three home wins.
Oh, do you think Hearts beat Celtic at the weekend?
I think so.
Seriously? Okay. Scott?
I've went home win, draw Hearts Celtic, home win Rangers.
There we go. Well, Darren, all you need to do now is just get the feet up, enjoy the weekend's action, and hopefully we speak to you on Monday night and give you £1,800. Sound good?
Would be nice, aye. Hang on.
There we go. It's all thanks to our friends at McNair's Building Supplies. Good luck to Darren. It's funny because I'm contradicting myself a bit. I keep saying, how can we not get three? We're only asking three. We've tried it every week. Then you look at the Hearts v Celtic. I know you think Hearts will win, but there are so many ways that make that one difficult to call, and that's before you even get to the others, so... Anyway, I'll tell you what, if there was a proper evening of association football in January has just broken out
that you don't want to play in.
Oh my goodness. Arbroath against Morton. I'll call that off. I mean, how can anybody control a football in those conditions?
It's actually like that most other weeks as well. Maybe not as strong as that. The wind machine is on. Look at the corner flags.
Oh, the just ball's the ball. Not sitting still in the corner. Our bro, as Scott says, is like this on a nice summer's day, but never mind late January, dark, wet. Look at the goal nets. The goal nets are about to rip off the crossbar.
Is that the north seats next to as well?
Like, whoever took that corner hit it full force and it didn't make the 6-yard box.
Just put balls in the box, though. That's the best thing
to
do.
I don't think they can even get it there. The
goalkeeper can't read the flight.
That looks horrendous. But anyway, it's 0-0 after 5 minutes. We'll keep an eye on it if there's anything that you think we have missed. Let's quickly whiz round some of the other talking points or preview some of the other games. Let's use the Pundit Predictor as our template then. Everything on paper points to Motherwell beating Kilmarnock.
Yep.
I've got that little bit of fear that just naturally comes with you, that football sometimes not that simple. What do you think?
I think it is that simple.
No, you would.
On this occasion, I think in fairness to Motherwell, you know, I don't think it's going out on a limb to take Motherwell. Why would you take Kilmarnock? On what basis would you take Kilmarnock other than Neil McCann staring at you? So I think it is a home win.
Yeah, home win for me. I think defensively Kelly just aren't defending well enough for me, and Motherwell will have so much of the ball you would expect them to win that game.
It's funny how everything, the tactical sort of challenge for managers and new managers, Neil McCann, shifted so much, Scott, where, you know, historically, Kelly and Motherwell are kind of similar size. Like, even if one is doing better than the other, you know, they're still kind of. But now it would seem for Kelly, like a lot of teams have done recently, is your game plan becomes so specific to try and stop what Motherwell do, but I feel and try and target
since
what they
Neil
do.
McCann comes in, every game has been like that because he's trying to find the best formula to get them winning games again. So I just think how Motherwell play gives them a world of trouble, to be quite honest with you. And I just see Motherwell being too strong, too confident on the ball, too clean with how they play out. And obviously, Mass, when you're saying that up front, you would expect to be cause that Kelly defence problem. So new goalkeeper come in for Kelly last week, as you obviously all seen that mistake between him and Robbie Dees.
I saw him in the gym the next morning, our gym, you might call it, Scott Allen, and I just couldn't help but thinking, just less stretching, more catching.
Yes,
that has to be the tactic going forward. Aitor Björgolfsson is Motherwell's new striker. Hugh, people, some people feel like maybe I recognise. Oh, look at that wind! I can't watch this. Our Broth Morton game. Some people feel maybe the kind of an out and out number nine is maybe one of the missing pieces of the Motherwell jigsaw.
I'm told that Mercedes Jens really believes in this player and believes he will make a significant difference straight away. So looking forward to seeing what he does. As I say, I don't think it's going out on a limb. I think if Kilmarnock won at Motherwell, it would be a major shock.
We've got a pitch inspection at Dundee United. I said that earlier on, didn't I?
The city of Dundee appears to have been battered by rain. You know,
precautionary half nine tomorrow for the visit of St Mirren.
There was one last weekend as well at Tannadice. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
They used to just put sand down on it when I was there.
Yeah. But St Mirren were fortunate to get away with it at Livy Tuesday night. Davy Martindale's gone on about VAR and the wrong decision. I would take Dundee United to win that.
Oh, Falkirk Kibbs should be a cracker as well. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Falkirk these days. They're really good. They're really playing well. Josh Mulligan out injured for a while, it looks
big
like
loss.
For Hibs. Could be big. Anyway, we'll get through all that tomorrow on the teaser tonight. Who were the last seven to move from Motherwell to Celtic permanently? Turnbull, McDonald, Pearson.
Is the late great Phil O'Donnell there?
Well done. Three to get.
Paul Lambert?
No, he went to Borussia Dortmund in between of all places.
Can I say a wild one here that you might laugh at, mate? Is someone we know really well? Paul Slane?
No, he went Celtic to Motherwell.
Famous podcaster and vlogger. He's on it.
He's on it?
2010, yeah. When Motherwell
was Celtic. I was thinking that. I didn't know if he'd...
Sat in that chair last week. Andy Halliday was babysitting him and brought him in to watch. Came in and watched the show. Yeah, he's on there, right? Two to get. Come back now. Need you, need you here, Hugh.
What, a Celtic captain?
Albeit Scott has very much heard of him.
We're not talking about Brian McClare, are we?
We are.
Wow.
1983. Is it, are you thinking Tom Boyd?
Tom Boyd.
Tom Boyd went to Chelsea in between. You could have had Mark Brown, who went to Inverness in between. So there's one other. In between Brian McClare and Phil O'Donnell. Striker. You know him well, Hugh, personally, if that helps.
Whoa. Andy Walker.
Well done, Hugh Evans and Scott Allen. Needed a helping hand over the line, but a good effort nevertheless. We will be back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Cannot wait for this weekend. Big games everywhere you look. Maybe we'll see some new signings. Loads to get through, so make sure you join us at 2 and enjoy the rest of your Friday night in the company of Mr. George Bowie and the GBX.